Now are you hearing? I'll repeat that. It's a little frightening to get up here at almost a quarter after eight and know you're supposed to be here until 9 o'clock. See, I learned a long time ago that you can say in just a few minutes, if you work at it, and what sometimes it takes a long time to say if you don't work at it. And I tell you, I have worked at this really hard. Preaching is sort of an art. And the more you do, the better you get. And I retired 10 years ago and have done very little. I'm not making excuses, except I don't know what's going to happen either. So we will see. I'm reminded of a few years ago when I was doing a summer ministry in a very beautiful place in Idaho called Island Park. Summer ministry to transients, to summer residents, and things like that. And one Sunday I was preaching away, and a gentleman at the back of the church stood up in the middle of my sermon. I thought I was doing really well, too, by the way. And he said, "I can't hear you." And one of the gentlemen sitting on the front row said, "I can, and I'll trade places with you." Really? So here I am today on a wonderful day. Today is Father's Day. As you know, it's not what we would call a church holiday, like maybe Jesus' birthday and Resurrection Day and Pentecost and some of those. But I think it's appropriate that we observe Father's Day in the church, because there probably is no more of a sacred calling than being a parent, and certainly a father in the culture in which we live in today is a very significant person in the life of those children. And if I were to try to title this message, whatever it may be today, I think it would be something like this: In Search of Heroes. It occurs to me that in our particular culture in which we live, and there is a kind of hero worship that many people find to be very gratifying, and they pick out a certain person in some line of work, perhaps in politics or in athletics or in science, or somebody becomes a hero to that person. And they look at that person and that person's life and they say, "You know, that's a life I would like to emulate, like to copy in some way." And I think in my own particular life, as I reflect on that, and I've been around this earth a long time, over three quarters of a century now, that's a long time. Anybody out there identify with me? I see you. I know that you're here. I see that hand. And you know that in 75 years, 77 years, whatever it may be, that you observe changes that take place and you meet certain people in your journey that have a profound effect upon who you are and what your goals and ambitions may be. As I was preparing for this, I really did some reflection, and I remember a Sunday school teacher back in the Linwood Boulevard Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, a little Southern Baptist church, just in a little community church. I'll never forget him. His name was Mr. Lawrence. He was my Sunday school teacher. I'll never forget his compassion for us as children who were attempting to grow up in what was then a rather difficult time in the 30s. Anyone remember those? I also remembered perhaps a man who had more influence on my life than any other person, and that was our father, our earthly father. And I have two brothers who are here this morning, and I think I could say with great confidence that they would say probably the same thing, and I see them nodding their heads. We had an incredible father, a gentle, kind, loving, compassionate, forgiving, enduring example of what it was to be nurtured and raised in the Christian environment. And I'm going to reflect on that for a few moments, if I may, to get to a point eventually. Our father was not an educated man. His father died when he was 10 years of age. And so he was the oldest of three sons. He had two brothers. One, my father was 10 when my grandfather, Benjamin Moore, died. I never knew him. And my father had two younger brothers, one who was 8 and one who was 6. So it was necessary for him to be involved in other things besides schoolwork. I don't think my father finished 8th grade. But over the years, I discovered a man who was very deeply full of wisdom. And I would suggest that maybe there's some correlation between intelligence and wisdom, but wisdom may be standing alone in that particular category. I remember one of my first recollections of my father was when I was about 5 years of age. And by the way, Gary was some distant thought, and Don was just a little bitty kid. And I remember following my father in a furrow as he was trying to plow the ground up around Warsaw, Missouri, in Benton County, trying to eke out a living in a little farm. That was very difficult. My job was to pick up the earthworms that were turned over before they made good fish bait. And after all, you know, fish could be an important staple in a family that was struggling financially. That farm now is under the water at Truman Reservoir. Another recollection of my father was that when I was in high school, I tried to play football, and I remember in the senior year of high school that we had a dad's night, and as it always does, it's like hillbilly days, it's going to rain, you know that. So it was raining all day long, and I remember, and my father didn't even like football. He was a baseball fan, and he had played baseball for Warsaw and Lincoln in those days. And he didn't see any rhyme or reason for a bunch of men, boys running around, falling all over each other and all of that. But on the day when we had Dad's night at the football game, it rained all day long, and the field we played on was half skinned for baseball. It was a quagmire. And by the end of the first quarter, you couldn't tell who was who. But my father sat through that whole game, enduring the drenching rain, and when it was all over, he went home, and I had the satisfaction of knowing that he was there, even though he probably didn't want to be. Small thing, but a significant thing. I also remember some very unpleasant things. And sometimes in our relationship with father and son, we have some unpleasant things that happen if we're honest about it. His expectations of me were probably more than I wanted to grant at that time, back in my, quote, younger days. I was visiting with Matt, or Matt was visiting with us the other day, and he said something I thought was quite funny. He said he had to discipline Noah the other day, and y'all know Noah, right? He's really wound tight, right? Isn't he a great kid? I just love to watch him. And the other day he had to discipline Noah. And Noah said to him, "Daddy, you're breaking my heart." I don't know if Matt melted. I probably would have. There are good times and bad times in this experience of father and son, father and child, mother and child. I remember one time when I had just entered the military, came home on leave, and rather than spending a lot of time with my parents, I spent a lot of time with my friends. And when the leave was over and I went to spend just an hour or two with my parents, I felt a little uncomfortable and somewhat ashamed. But I'll never forget my father's remark when I got ready to leave. He said, "Son, don't forget, you are always welcome in this house." In one sense, I felt like the prodigal son who had just been welcomed back into his presence. We all have memories, don't we? all of us. And some are very good, some are very bad. Then there's the great privilege of being a father. Many of us are so privileged. And in being a father, it brings us into a very different kind of relationship than when we were children with a father. It is so important, I believe, in this day and age to have children in the proper environment. You know, there are those children who are compliant children. There are those children who are strong-willed children. It is my great fortune to have had one of each. And to have a compliant child who is so intent upon pleasing one, if that child is headed in the right direction, then he or she becomes, as it were, a very positive part of one's life and certainly of the culture in which he or she is in. The same time, the strong-willed child, that I have one of those, I love her dearly. And when that strong-willed child is headed in the right direction, there's very little that can change that strong-willed child's mind. And it's a marvelous thing to see a person, a strong-willed child who says, yes, I want to do what's right. I want to follow Christ. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God, because it takes a world of dynamite, so to speak, to shake the faith of that strong-willed child. So we're blessed with all of these experiences. And you've had some, and I've had some. And some of you may have had some strong-willed or compliant children in your experience. It is so important to know how to deal with those children as a parent. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And over again, we hear this same verse, and this verse is often repeated to emphasize the necessity for proper Christian training, and I believe that. But if one exegetes this verse and discovers that there is a deeper secondary meaning to it, it will help us understand too our responsibility as father or parent. Chuck Swindoll, in one of his books, says, this verse has incredible meaning for the parent. For if you exegete it into the Hebrew from which it was written, it really should read like this. Know the bent of your child so that you can encourage him or her into those natural gifts and talents that God has given you. It's a whole new understanding of that verse. And as I look back at my own two children, I see how that could have been very helpful while they were living at my house. To know their strengths and to encourage them in their strengths. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What a great and awesome task for those of us who want our children to know Christ, to know the loving Christ, the living Jesus as we know him. It's a great and awesome privilege. There are always good times and bad times. Whose heart has not been rendered this week by the tragic events in Iowa when four scouts' lives were taken because of natural storms? And you think about those parents who have lost those boys who were sent to become more proficient in survival, and the paradox of that whole experience. And one can hardly, especially one who has been a parent, can hardly watch that without having some emotions that come to the surface. There are good times and bad times. I shall never forget in my own case when our son, he happened to be visiting with Don. Don, hold your hand up, will you, Don? This is Don, that's Marge, that's my brother, okay? And you know Gary, everybody knows Gary, right? Gary shaking his head. No, I think everybody knows Gary. My son, David, went to visit Don and his son, Tommy, and Marge. And flew him out in an airplane, I believe, out into Western Kansas, Central Kansas, where Don was pastoring. And the next day, Don called. He said, "There's something wrong with David. That's my son." And I said, "Well, what is it?" He says, "He's just listless." I said, "It takes about 3 hours for me to get there. I'll be there in 3 hours." And I remember the trip out, and when I got there, I discovered that David, our son, could not move any joint without extreme pain. So immediately he was about 10 or 11, as I recall. I struggled to get him into the car. I took him back to Ottawa, Kansas, where I was living at that time. Took him right to the hospital, and I had to put my arms around his chest like this and carry him into the hospital so that nothing moved. Got him into the hospital. They, of course, admitted him and discovered that he had rheumatoid arthritis. That was the diagnosis. And I remember standing outside of his hospital room just crying out to the Lord, "What is this? This is a young lad who's growing up with the knowledge of Jesus. What is this?" Well, the Lord really answered our prayers by healing him in about a month. Discovered he had had a reaction to a drug he had taken for tonsillitis. So we never used that drug again. That was a time when I wondered, is it really fun to be a parent? There are good times, there are bad times. Now, in talking about my father as I have to say, I believe my father, our father, was one of my heroes. And if there is a lesson today in all of this, I think it is that in the culture in which we live, heroes have become, as it were, a part of our culture, and we look upon them in certain ways as having certain characteristics. My father was my hero. I recognize that now. I did not recognize that then, but I do now. And perhaps too late I have recognized that, but I want to confess that to you today. He was my hero, and he was a quiet sort of hero who day by day showed me about the love of Christ. When I was in the military, I was sent to Korea when things were pretty hot there. And when I came home to this little town in eastern Kansas called, you ever hear of Osawatomie, Kansas? Did you? Bless your heart. It's just a little town, about 4,000 people, famous for John Brown. You can be famous for John Brown. And when I took the train from Seattle, Washington, to Kansas City, Missouri, I'll never forget walking up out of those huge stairwells that you used to walk from where the trains were up into Union Station. Anybody ever been there? You remember some of those? The first person I saw was my father, my mother, and right there was little Gary. He was a little bitty guy at that time. I remember how thankful I was that they were there. We went home to this little town of Osawatomie, and we lived right around the corner from First Baptist Church, and my father was a deacon. By the way, our family has in our possession a plaque that says, "For 48 years of dedicated service to the First Baptist Church of Warsaw, Missouri, Earl F. Moore." Wow, what a legacy. You know what? We pass that plaque around. I just got it from Gary. I'll keep it a year, and then it goes to Don. Reminds us of our heritage partly. We got home, and my father said, "Hey, I need to run around the corner to the church. Would you like to go with me?" I said, "Sure." Hadn't been there for a long time, been gone. Helped build the church, climbed up on some of those girders to put them together to build that building when I was a high school kid. We got down to the First Baptist Church of Osawatomie. And my father walked into the church. We went into what was called the prayer room, and he said, "I promised the Lord if you brought my son home safely, the first thing I would do would be to come down and say thank you." One of the highest, holiest moments in my life as I watched my father kneel down and give thanks to his hero, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to share something with you that's quite personal. And I don't do this, Lord, I pray, out of self-aggrandizement. I don't want that. I simply want to use it as a catalyst for what I have felt I needed to say today. A year ago, Easter, my son, who is a pastor, sent me a new Bible. Like I've only got two shelves of Bibles. If you want a version that you can't find, call me. I think I've got one. And he wrote in this, and I'm going to read it to you. And I know the danger is you're going to think, well, he's just elevating himself. Believe me, I know who I am. I don't have to be elevated. I know who I am. I know where I have walked. And I know what Jesus does in a life. For I'm a good example of that. This is what my son wrote to me. And I quote, it's just in the fly leaf of this most precious Bible I think I've ever had. It says, I know, a study Bible for my father pastor. But look at the contributory. God, that's an in-house joke. What can I say? May your growth in the Spirit continue. Know that you are my hero. Happy Easter. That, my friends, is amazing. I had no idea that in our life together, my family, my son, my daughter, that there was that kind of focus. And if there's any message I think that we have, that I have for fathers and mothers and parents or sons and daughters, it is that what we do and what we say and what we are comes through loud and clear. When I reflect upon my father, I see a man who was so humble, and it was his custom to give God the glory in all things. That's kind of heavy, isn't it? Really, when you think about it. But you know what I see? I see that my father, and I see that my son, and I hope my son sees in me the reflection of the real hero. The true hero. Not a human being like you or me, but the risen Jesus, who came and walked among us. One version says he put on skin, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only Son of God, who said, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." Not just little facets here and there, but abundant life. Abundant life comes when one gives himself or herself totally and completely to the Lordship of Christ. It will change you. It will make you see life as it was meant to be. He will become your hero. And you will know that it was Jesus who stood in front of all the powerful. He stood in front of his accusers. He went, as it were, willingly to be scourged and to be humiliated and to be spit upon and to be rejected by humankind. And then, in submission to his Father's will, They hammered him to a cross. And he became the one true hero. Jesus, my Savior, your Savior. So it is that in walking with him daily and remembering Father's Day today, that I can look back on my own experience and say, my father was so good because he knew Jesus. My life has become so meaningful because I know Jesus. He has changed my whole understanding of what it means to live and what it means to die. Now, my life is almost 80% over, or maybe more than that. But you know what? That's okay, because standing against all that life has to throw at us and to bargain with us is the reflection and the shadow of the cross that says, I love you. I love you with a love that's unreserved, and I am willing to give my life for you. Now, you talk about a hero. You talk about something heroic. That's Jesus. And yet he was not someone who was beautiful to look at. The Bible tells us that. But he was one who went willingly to buy your salvation and mine through his work on the cross. Well, being a father can be a hero. Being a father or a mother can reflect the indwelling presence of the Christ. And my prayer would simply be for all of us that as we celebrate this day, and if you have a living Father, then you're blessed. My hope would be that we can reflect once more upon that, that we have the opportunity to be heroes in the sight of others, understanding who the hero really is. I shall keep this Bible, and from time to time, I'm going to open it and look at that page. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, we read these words, and I would close with this. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus wants to walk with us day by day. He wants to meet us where we live and be, as it were, our true hero. People of God then said with me, amen. And amen. There is a hymn of invitation this morning, and I don't know what it is. I surrender all. Do we have a page number? Oh, it'd be on the screen. I invite you to stand and sing. And if the Lord has touched you in some way today, and you need to make a decision about Jesus, then Scott will be down here to greet you. I will be glad to greet you as best I can. If you have any kind of a decision you'd like to make in terms of your relationship to God through Jesus Christ, we would invite you to come as we sing this great old hymn.
Scott. Oh.